Vous êtes sur Art District Radio et c'est l'heure de retrouver Luc Seabright dans Jazz Interview pour une rencontre en anglais avec un artiste de jazz. Passez un très bon moment sur Art District.
Hi everybody, this is Luc Seabright and welcome to our jazz interview program. Today I have on the phone with me Wayne Escoffery. Wayne is a jazz saxophonist who's had a very successful career both as a sideman with great artists such as Tom Harrell and as part of the Mingus Big Band, as well as a very successful solo career. His latest album is called Vortex. It was released earlier this year. It features Wayne's quartet with Dave Kokoski on piano, Ugona Okegwo on bass, and Ralph Peterson on drums. Wayne will be performing at the Sunside in Paris for two consecutive nights on February 13th and 14th. Wayne, thanks so much for being here. How's it going?
It's going good. Thanks for having me, man.
Are you calling from New York?
I sure am, indeed.
Because that's where you're based today, right?
Yeah. I've lived in New York since 1999.
Okay. Hard. And so when are you going to be flying over to Europe?
Actually fly in the afternoon of the 13th. So we land and check in at the hotel and we go to the club.
Straight
and,
to the club.
Get the ball rolling.
So like any rehearsal time?
We've been playing together for a long time. So we'll just do a sound check and we'll be ready to go. We just had a CD release performance at Smoke Jazz Club here in New York. So
yeah.
we had a nice weekend run, so we're feeling
cool.
Good.
So you got these two concerts coming up in Paris. If I'm not mistaken, there's basically one lineup change with respect to the album on piano, right? With Danny Grissett stepping in?
That's right. Dave Kokoski is going to be on a tour in Europe already.
Okay.
So my good friend and great pianist Danny Grissett's stepping in.
Cool. So can you tell us a little bit about these musicians? I mean, as you said, you've been playing for a while, so you know each other well. And so, yeah, what kind of have you recorded together before?
Well, yeah. I mean, we did a live recording for the Smalls record label. About a year and a half ago, that was pretty well received. And so, you know, we've been a working band for the last maybe 2.5 years. Ralph Peterson, Ugona Okegwo, Dave Kokoski, and myself. And we really had a great time traveling all over the world, really playing my music. And this recording for Sunnyside Records is our first really studio date because the last one was a live recording. So I'm really excited about it. And so far, people really enjoy it. So that's making me feel good.
Awesome. And so will you be playing music mostly from the new album, these gigs?
Yeah, we'll be playing mostly new music. I mean, there'll be some music from the previous recording,
yeah.
Some band favorites. But yeah, a lot of the music will be new music from the recording. So, yeah.
Cool. And do you know the Sunset? You played there before, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's one of my favorite places to play.
Cool.
I love the vibe there at Sunset, and you know, the people that work there are always cool, and you know, the people that come there, you know, are of a certain sort, and they're always a hip
yeah.
audience. It's a fun place to play.
And are you often coming to Europe? I mean, I know that now, in especially for American artists, that's a big part of your life now and your career is going abroad. So are you often in Europe?
Sure, I'm there quite often. You know, every few months I travel to Europe or somewhere else. We're spreading this music as much as we can and sharing what we do with audiences everywhere. You know, it's important to keep this music, alive. So traveling and being able to share it with people in other cultures and other countries is important.
Cool. Well, let's talk about the new album because, first, congratulations. It's because it came out just last month, if I'm not mistaken. It's fantastic, and could you tell us a bit about sort of how the project came about, sort of how long has it been in the making?
Well, really, like I said, you know, the band's been together for about 2 years, so we've been traveling all over the place. So we really wanted to make a studio recording as opposed to just the live one that we had. And, you know, we made the first half of it between one tour, and then we went on the road, of course, together and all with and also with other, we all worked with other groups. And then we came back, you know, almost a year later and then finished it off. So it's kind of a funny product in that it kind of like documents our music from over about a year period of time.
So, okay.
But you know, like I said, the band's been together for a long time, so it was a great opportunity to kind of play the music a lot live and then go into the studio and record it. I mean, all the music that we recorded, we had been playing for, you know, probably a year or so.
Yeah. Well, why don't we take some time to listen to one of the tracks from the album now. Why don't we listen to the title track and the opening number? It's called Vortex. That's one of your own compositions, right?
It is indeed, yep.
It's the album, in fact, is mostly made up of originals with some compositions from other band members, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so let's listen to Vortex. We'll be right back. So that was Vortex, the title track of Wayne Escoffery's latest album, Vortex, which came out this year. So yeah, I chose that. I particularly like this one, and I chose it because for me it's kind of the perfect showcase of the band's prowess. It's sort of explosive post-bop. It's got like stellar solos all around. It's got this whirlwind of an opening, which is sort of perfectly evokes the title. And I'm also sort of blown away by the work of the rhythm section. And I can imagine that as a saxophonist, it must be just incredible and such a treat to play with musicians of this caliber.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are great friends and they're amazing musicians. And, you know, I really try to put myself in the position of playing with musicians that are, you know, really strong and that push me out of my comfort zone. And but in that same regard, yeah. You know, they're great at pushing me out of my comfort zone, but also they know, you know, how to support me in the way that I need. So it's really great having such mature and energetic musicians playing with me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do you think it is that they really add to? I mean, what do you think it is that you manage to create together that's that you wouldn't be able to create otherwise?
Well, I mean, it's just a mixture of that maturity, but also that. Still that young energy.
Yeah.
A big part of it is experience. I mean, these guys, you know, Ugona Kegwo, Ralph Peterson, and Dave Kikoski, I mean, they've played with everyone there is to play with. I mean, you know, from people who play, you know, real straight ahead, real inside music, to people who play real complicated and out music, for lack of a better word. So they're just really experienced and know how to make music of all sorts, and that's important to me because I'm not, as they say, a one-trick pony. I like a lot of different kinds of music, mm-hmm. and I like to incorporate all of it into what I do. So when I play, it's really important for me to have musicians accompanying me that hear where I'm coming from conceptually, and they're all able to do that in a very artistic way, and also that young feeling, that hungry feeling, is not lost with them just because they're older. I mean, they're all older than me. You know, they're all from a generation older than me. I think they still have that young energy, and I definitely need that when I play. I mean, I need power. I mean, this music for me is very emotional. It's very soulful, and I need that energy when I'm playing.
Well, I mean, it definitely comes across. It's you can feel it, and is there a story behind the title Vortex?
You know, Vortex is really kind of a metaphor for a lot of the racial and political tension that's been in the United States and really infested the whole world in the last year or two since the presidential elections and since a lot of the killings of black shootings of black young black children in the States. So what Vortex is really that polarity that I'm constantly having to avoid, that polarity of hate and bigotry and, you know, just ridiculousness that we're constantly having to navigate around or through.
Yeah.
So, Vortex really is a metaphor for just that polarity and trying to avoid that.
Because I was looking into your other projects, and in particular I listened to the album you released with the Black Art Jazz Collective, and I feel like that there's a certain social awareness that you kind of, I mean, there's certainly a sort of social element to what you want to do and the kind of messages you want to put across. And so I was wondering if you could talk to us a little bit about your other projects, in particular this Black Art Jazz Collective, where you're trying to sort of foster an awareness of and pride, particularly among young African Americans, of African American icons and from musical but also cultural and political spheres.
Yeah, well, I mean, you said it well. I mean, I'm really just, you know, what Black Art Jazz Collective is, I'm really proud of this project. And first of all, first and foremost, it's my friends, you know, a group of friends, and we all of the same generation. We all went to school together in different places, and we just enjoy making music together. And that's always important to me. I mean, the camaraderie of the band really comes across in any musical situation. So that's important. But the other thing is we have a similar vision. I mean, we're really proud black men, and a lot of us are fathers now, and we love this African American art form, and we unapologetically celebrate that it's an mm-hmm. African American art form. And I think it was important to all of us to have a project that kind of did that and kind of highlighted the sacrifices, and highlighted the contributions that African Americans have made to society, and contributions that they have made to jazz. So, yeah. It's not in any sort of militant or exclusionary way. It's just that saying, black is beautiful. I mean, yeah. It is beautiful, and we're happy to just celebrate it. So I'm really proud of that group. And actually, we're going into the studio next week, this coming weekend, to record another album. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, great. That's exciting. With the same group of people, or have there been any lineup changes?
Nope, exact same guys. Jeremy Pelt, James Burton, myself, Xavier Davis, Vicente Archer, Jonathan Blake.
Yeah, fantastic. Jeremy Pelt, who incidentally is also a guest on Vortex, Eyes. So I guess, because you're also actively involved in teaching, so I guess that's something that these are ideas that you sort of directly seek to transmit, I imagine. It's because you teach at Yale, right? But you also give lectures and masterclasses.
I do, yeah. This is my second year, my fourth semester teaching jazz improvisation at the Yale School of Music, which I'm really proud of. And I teach really the classes. It's not a history course, and it's also not any sort of analytical course. It's really a course in teaching people how to improvise, how to play this music. And mm-hmm. so the class is made up of a lot of classical musicians, actually, and also just students studying a lot of different things, some music students and some students in other colleges at Yale.
Yeah.
And it's a great environment. I mean, they're great students. You know, they're mm-hmm. great. They're just great at learning, listening, and learning. And they're eager to learn about this music. And for sure, I do explain to them the importance of the origins of this music and where it's from. So that's definitely a part of what I teach in that class.
Yeah. And could you maybe tell us a little bit about your personal history and journey through music? Because I know that you were on the receiving end of some great music education programs as well that you've talked about. So could you tell us a little bit about how you got into playing jazz, and what kind of who were the key figures in that sort of in that journey?
Yeah, well, I was very fortunate to study with some amazing musicians. I mean, in high school, I met Mr. Jackie McLean, alto saxophonist Jackie McLean, yep. and he kind of took me under his wing. I joined his artist collective program based out of Hartford, Connecticut, and then he invited me to attend the Hart School of Music on a scholarship. Yep. So that was a blessing to me and, of course, my mother that I was invited to attend with that scholarship. So I went to the Hart School and studied with him for 4 years, and he really gave me a foundation for what this music is, for where it comes from, and how to learn the music, and you know what's hip and what's not. I mean, he really set me straight on that and kind of gave me a real focus and direction. And then he encouraged me to apply to the Thelonious Monk Institute, and I was accepted there. And when the school was in Boston, so I studied at the Monk Institute in Boston, and that was a great opportunity because as a student at the Thelonious Monk Institute, I was able to study with basically whoever I wanted. I could just reach out to whomever I wanted.
Wow.
So in addition to all the great musicians that they brought into the school, so you know I was able to study with a countless number of people. You know, George Coleman, Barry Harris, Clark Terry.
Wow.
Benny Golson, Jimmy Heath. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And
yeah.
You know, so I really got the chance to get different perspectives of how to play this music. I even studied with drummer Carl Allen for a while. You know, I wanted to just play with a great drummer, so I sought out Carl Allen, and we had weekly lessons, and we're good friends to this day. So, yeah, I had a great musical education. I was very fortunate, and yeah, it's another reason why I'm always, like I said, unapologetically celebrating the origins of this music, because I spent a lot of time with people who fought to be able to play this music, and I wouldn't be honoring them if I didn't make sure that their legacy was somehow integral in what I was doing.
Yeah, cool, awesome. Well, thanks so much, Wayne. That's about all we've got time for. Just before we finish, you mentioned a new recording coming up with the Black Art Jazz Collective. Are there any other projects brewing? I mean, it might be a bit premature. You've just released a new album, but new collaborations, albums, tours.
Well, not right now. I'm just really trying to promote Black Art Jazz Collective. We just got invited to play the Newport Jazz Festival this year, so I'm really excited about that.
Wow, congratulations!
And, you know, we're going to be going to be doing a lot of touring. Hopefully this summer. I'm working hard now, trying to book some dates. So I'm just excited about that group and doing a lot of teaching and with that ensemble and playing. So and Bob, quite frankly, I'm looking forward to coming to Paris on the 13th, so I hope people will come out and check out the band.
Well, 13th of February and 14th of February, those are the dates at the Sunside in Paris. So if you're in the area, note down those dates. Wayne, thanks so much. It's been a real pleasure talking to you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
Once again, that was Wayne Escoffery. His latest album is called Vortex. It was released earlier this year. 13th of February, 14th of February, Sunside in Paris. While we'll cap off the interview with by listening to one more tune from the album. It's called Acceptance. It's one of Ralph Peterson's compositions. I'm Luke Seabright, and that was our jazz interview program. Thanks.
C'était Jazz Interview avec Luke Seabright. Retrouvez tous nos podcasts sur notre site internet artdistrict-radio.com. Très belle journée, à notre écoute.